Amen. If I can draw your attention to verse number one of verse four of chapter four, where Paul is saying, therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Gotten so many really encouraging rave reviews over the sermon that I preached just this past Sunday, that you survive to serve. And so many, I've heard from so many of you, and just know, you know, the encouragement that I receive through, you can always DM me, Pastor Andy WOCC. If you, I'm on Facebook, you can always shout me, PA, what a word. It is encouraging, especially in a time when I can't see everyone. But I've gotten a lot of really positive responses and so many people saying to me, yeah, when I think about it, the Lord really did spare my life. You know, I shared that story of falling out of a van. It's an absolute true story. I don't know if I've ever ministered it quite that way, that's how I got filled with the Holy Spirit. That's how I received the baptism, bloody and bleeding in the back of a van as a result of a tragic accident that if it had not been for God on my side, my Lord, I need a witness. If it had not been for the Lord on my side, if God had not been with me, and I know there are so many of you that, and I sense the anointing of God right here in my basement. There are so many of you that are thinking, oh yeah, PA, listen, I've got a story. I'm a living witness. I can think of, I looked up just at the right moment and put my foot on the brake. I can think about how I right after I left the club, that's when something happened. Right after I left the party, that's when the shooting started. Right when somehow there was something that interfered with my demise. And I often look back and think, my God, you spared me. And just to give you some of the underpinnings of it, and really to lead you into this call that I have for you, that Paul is saying, see, since through God's mercy, since we are the receivers of the mercy of God, since we have decided his mercy and his grace has made a way for us. If you can think about his mercy, if you can think about his grace, if you can come to grips with the flawed you, if you can come to grips with the fact that you are so far from imperfect, if you can ever get over the superiority complex that you have in being a black man or being a black woman or being a white man or being a white person or being a white woman or being an Asian or being in India or being in an African, if you can ever get over the superiority complex you feel as a result of being a Nigerian or being Ghanaian or being Jamaican, if you can ever get over that and think, when it gets down to it, God, you're all I have, you're all I need, and I am walking as a result of your mercy, living based on your grace, then I live and rely on the love that God has for me. And if it wasn't for his mercy, wasn't for his grace, where would I be? Paul is saying, since through God's mercy, as a result of God's mercy, we have this ministry, that there's a ministry that's connected to the mercy, that there's a ministry that's connected to the survival. That's the point I made on Sunday. And I think that one of the great mistakes that we have made in the Christian world, and I'm trying to correct it, is that we believe that the call to Christ is a call to favor. Just not the case. It's a very challenging idea to come to the understanding that God sends rain on the just and the unjust. My God, his mercy and his grace is on people who know Christ, people who don't know Christ. I know there are Christians who be very upset about me saying that, but the facts bear it out. There's too many of us who know heathens that clearly there's favor on their life. And there's many of us, there was favor on us when we weren't walking right. There was mercy on us when we weren't walking right. And so one of the mistakes that we've made, one of the mistakes that Christians have made, for hundreds of years now. One of the reasons why so much of the planet rejects our Christ and rejects our Christianity is because we communicated Christianity as a path to favor instead of seeing it as a path to service. That Christianity is about a call to serve. It's not about a call to be blessed. That the blessing comes on the other side of service. You end up being a conduit of blessing. And as a result of that, you get wet with the blessing of God. But God blesses you so you can be a blessing. I don't think God is done with America, but if he is, if our reign, if the American empire is coming to an end, it is not because of the power of the enemy. It's not because of demonic forces. It's because we ceased, we failed to see the knowledge of Christ and the power of the cross and the blessing that comes as a result of it. We failed to see that as given to us so that we might be a blessing. We thought so much about being blessed, we didn't realize that the blessing is to be a blessing and that the mercy is a sign of a ministry. My God, we ought to make that into a t-shirt. Whoever's over my t-shirt, the mercy is a sign of the ministry. That if you can think of the mercy of God, then that means there's a call on you and that there's a ministry that's connected to it. And so for all of us who have a knowledge of Christ, all of us who think of ourselves as saved, all of us who are full of the Holy Ghost, all of us who believe we have a prayer life, I'm so sorry. But you are not really saved unless you're serving. Ooh, my God. Yeah, that if you really want to believe in salvation, if you really want to claim a connection to Christ, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you are going to remain in me, in Christ, okay, if you're going to be a new creation, then understand that the expectations of Christ is different than the expectation of the Father. When the Father sees the world, he sees children. When Jesus sees the world, when Jesus, the Father is looking for children, the Son is looking for a bride. And the intimacy with the bride is different than the intimacy with the child. They're not the same. And the relationship and what is expected of a bride is different than what is expected of a child. They're not the same. And so, to be in a relationship with God the Father is very different than being in a relationship with the Son. And the church is about the Son. The church is about serving. That what Christ cares about is the kingdom of God. He came to destroy the works of the enemy. The thief comes to kill and steal and destroy. Jesus has come to be a direct attack against the demonic assault against mankind. By being in the church, you are a soldier. By being in the church, you are a servant. And if you fail to serve and fail to give and fail to tithe and fail to volunteer, then you aren't really in the church. You are someone that is a child. It is absolutely possible to be a child of God and not be in the bride of Christ. And to really be in the church is really to be called to serve. And for all of you to think of yourself as saved and confident on the day of judgment, it is because of your service. It is because you serve the Lord. We have this ministry. When I look at 2 Corinthians 2 and 3 and 4, because I know there are many of you that and I've got about 20 minutes. There are many of you that are the comment that I've gotten the most is, okay, PA, all right, I hear you. You're saying one of my goddaughters watched the sermon on Sunday and told me she was crying. And she's saying, okay, well, what is the ministry? I got to figure out How am I serving? And in essence, what Paul is saying in 2 Corinthians 2 and 3 and 4 and really 5 and in much of 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul is saying, listen, you have a ministry, okay? Therefore, since through God's mercy, we have this ministry. Thanks be to God. Chapter 2, verse 14, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. That this is about the fragrance of God. This is about the aroma of Christ in the earth. This is about the church. And the church is about service. The church is about the love of Christ. It's not just about dominion. It's about serving. And when you come to that knowledge, you understand that this call is a call to serve. This call is a call to ministry. And if your question is, well, what is the ministry? I've got several ministries that Paul talks about here in 2 Corinthians. And I've got 10 of them on this paper. The more I look at them, and many of these I've seen, many of these are things I was taught in school. And so I don't want you to just think that all of this is original with me. It's just, it's in the Word, and it's truth. And I want to share it with you as best I can. I've got 10 of them, and I hope I can get through all 10 in the next 3 weeks. If not, I'll take a fourth week. But let me begin and share them with you. I'm not going to give you all 10. I'm just going to give them to you as we go through them. Hopefully, I can give you two or three tonight. Without any further ado, let's jump into it. Okay, so all right. What is the ministry that we have? All right, well, if we look in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1, the Apostle Paul says, are we beginning to commend ourselves again, or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You are yourselves are our letter written on our hearts, known and read by everybody. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. I see there that Paul is saying the first ministry, and hopefully the guys will be able to throw it on here, is the ministry of recommendation. The ministry of recommendation. Two M's in recommendation, gentlemen. The ministry of recommendation. Paul is saying, do we have to commend ourselves to you again? Do we have to sit around here and prove who Christ is? All of the conversations and the pundits and the debaters about multiple beliefs in and multiple ways to God. Is Jesus the only way? Are there multiple ways? So many arguments and conversations and discussions about that. And in so many ways, those conversations or discussions are based on scriptures or proof. And a part of the reason why so much of that discussion is made is because there's not enough of us involved in the ministry of recommendation, meaning that our lives are being commended to the conscience of every man. Our lives are being used as ink, as Paul says in verse 3, you show that you are a letter from Christ. We're doing so much arguing and discussion about 1 Corinthians and what made the canon and the Nicene Creed and all of those theological discussions. I totally understand them. A part of the reason why so many of those discussions were had to be made was because there were so few living testaments, so few living testimonies. I would contend that one of the reasons why there is so much argument about the truth of Christ is because there are so many poor Christians. There are so many of us who do not live the love of Christ. We have done such a poor example of really living the law of love in who Jesus really is. Once Constantine decided to make Christianity his world religion, his governmental religion, and decided to use Christianity to consolidate his power, then the truth of Christ and the truth of the spirit of Christianity really got lost in a determination to rule the earth by ruling the heavens. And once Roman Catholicism was born, not to be overly critical of it, but we just have to understand that when Christianity became law more than light, we got away from the ministry of recommendation. And I know why the ministry of recommendation is a tough one, because most of us want to reside more in principles than we want to do in our life. And we don't want ourselves commended to people. I know, beloved, it's why I didn't really want to be in the ministry. Because I don't necessarily want to be. I realize I can't escape it. But I just want to be able to point people to the law. I want to be able to point people to the word. I don't know if I have ever been a supremacist that wants to point to the Bible as proof of my infallibility. Because we have to realize that in essence, that's what happened. That Western civilization and people from the Western culture decided to use the Bible as a justification for their evil in the name of God. And they just decided that they were somehow divinely right. And we had the divine right of kings and the divine right of Ham and Cush and all of this kind of this belief that, well, somehow as a result of your skin color, you're inherently evil and white is right. And all of this is about dominion, and it's not really about Christ. And so what we have been left with is a Christianity poorly lived and hundreds of years of slavery and dominion and pain and hurt and caused by people that claim to know Christ. And maybe they know him in a religious way, but do they really know him in a personal way? Paul is saying, look, do I have to lay out what my theology, do I have to lay out my degrees? Do I have to commend myself again? Or can you all just be my letter? You show that you're a letter from Christ. You're the result of our ministry. Paul is saying, I don't have to get into these theological arguments. All I have to do is point at you. And so I trust I didn't get too far in the weeds there. My point in all of that is just to say that the first ministry is a ministry of recommendation, meaning you wear it well. You wear it. When I was younger, I think it was DeBarge, that had a song that said, you wear it well, you wear it well, you wear it well. You wear it well. That if we really think about it, we are extremely familiar with the ministry of recommendation. It is the foundation of the advertisement strategy. One of the things that's interesting recently about my communication, and especially on Sunday mornings, is as much as people are commenting on the sermon, they're also commenting on the Jordans. Let me just say where this whole me wearing Jordans things came from. Obviously, Jordans are comfortable, to be really honest with you. Why am I wearing Jordans? Because of my son, AJ. That's why. I hate to just tell on myself that I'm not as cool as I guess I look. But my son, AJ, said to me, Dad, you need to be wearing some real Jordans. To be totally honest, I had gone down to Foot Locker and got some Jordans I thought were Jordans, and I brought them home. And when my son AJ saw them, he said, Dad, if you don't take those fake, bobo, lame Jordans back to the store. And I was like, what are you talking about? These Jordans cost money. He said, Dad, take those Jordans back. And so at the behest of my son, AJ, I took those Jordans back. And then he took me to a website and showed me real Jordans. And I thought they were fly, and but they certainly cost more money. And so for all of you that are looking at me wearing these Jordans, it's because AJ recommended that I wear Jordans. And I didn't want to be whack. My God, I didn't want to be fake. I want to wear the real ones. And so as a result of his recommendation, but my point is that now that I'm wearing Jordans, it's who wears them. Someone said to me, yeah, PA, you wearing Jordans because of how you are. It's you wear them well. It's how you wear them. And it's a recommendation that we have to realize that in a sense, the way we wear Christ, we're so used to it because we watch Jordan start by wearing Nikes and then Jordans and design his own shoe. Now everybody's got their own shoe. And we look at athletes, we look at stars, we look at singers, and they wear it well. And there's a recommendation that they make. Kim Kardashian has made a recommendation. She has recommended thin waist but thick hips. She's recommended it. She wears it well. I'm not even that big of a fan of Kim Kardashian, but I have to admit, she wears it well. And if you are walking through the mall or walking through the store, you see now, it's not just the sisters. White women have decided that to wear hips well, my God. Now white women have decided that they want to wear yoga pants, my God, because Kim and Kanye and Beyonce too have worn hips well and have now recommended hips to the world. That there's something about the who's wearing it. They wear it well. They recommend the concept. I'm just saying that the world realizes that you will be attracted to the product based on who wears it. You see somebody wearing Yeezys and you decide, woo! So much so that there's sponsorship behind a person because of their influence. You get enough followers, you can get into influencer money. Influencers want you to recommend a place. I go to a restaurant, they'll comp my meal if I recommend. Understand. That first ministry is the ministry of recommendation. You wear it well and you recommend it. My God, I don't see. It's going to take me 10 weeks if I'm going to take this kind of time. But that, what's my ministry, PA? Okay, well, the first lowest level of ministry is you recommend it. You recommend that somebody follow Christ. You recommend that somebody hear a word. You recommend that somebody watches this. How do you start in the ministry? You got to share this. You have to say, come hear about a man that's breaking it down. Come hear a man that is communicating the word of God in a way that is palatable and relatable and relevant, that makes sense. You can't recommend a burger and not recommend this word. You can't recommend a shoe store and not recommend this word. Somebody can't come to you and say, girl, where you get your hair done? And you say, Sonia over on blah, blah, blah. You can't recommend that. You can't recommend the kind of hair you have in your head and not gonna recommend this word. You can't recommend the kind of hair you use when you do your braids. You can't recommend who braids your hair and not recommend this word. You can't recommend a steak place and not recommend you can't recommend a realtor and not recommend this word. This is the ministry of recommendation. Somehow we've gotten away from it. Somehow we'll talk about what we do with everything except this. Fly Delta. Delta wants you to be exclusive to them. They want to give you points. They want you in their premium club because they want you to recommend them. I travel a lot and I rent cars, and I had rented a car from a company that's kind of a new company. I won't say their name, but when I returned the car looked fine to me. They contacted me later talking about their scratches on the car. And I said, I returned that car. I didn't see any dents or scratches on the car. And the person I dealt with started fussing at me, and it got kind of funky. And I thought, what kind of business is this? And the person hung up on me. And then the next time somebody contacted me from the claims department, I said to them, listen, let me explain something to you. You need to talk to somebody above you. Because at this point, it's not about the money. It's not about whether or not I have the money. I got your money. The question is, you need to figure out if this money, these scratches, are worth me having a bad taste in my mouth about your company. Because I'm telling you now, you're not going to get a good recommendation from me. Now, you need to go figure out who I am. I never heard from them again over them little scratches, because anyone with a company knows that they want someone to give them a good recommendation. One of the most challenging things for me, World Overcomers, and it looks like I'm just going to be dealing with the first one. One of the greatest challenges is when someone misrepresents me, when someone misrepresents World Overcomers, and then as a result of that, people think I'm like that. I've had folk work for me do all kinds of dirt. I've had folk work for me do all kinds of evil. I had a young adult minister who did all kinds of evil stuff that I didn't know about. Scheming. And listen, the most challenging thing as a leader, as a pastor, is when other people's lack of character reflects on the leader. I was having a conversation with someone, and they were talking to me about someone who worked for me at the time, and I was kind of saying, what happened? And they were like, you know. And I said, I know. They said, you know. And I was more upset about the fact that they thought I knew than I was about the evil, the stuff that the person was doing. Beyond just being bothered by the fact that the person wasn't doing right, I was bothered by the fact that folk thought I knew about it and didn't act on it. It's a question of my character. People want to question your character all the time because they want to take the actions of others as a reflection on you as the leader. I done got all the way down the bunny trail. I'm sorry. My point is recommendation is a ministry. For you to say, listen, you got to hear about oh my God, you ain't been to worship service. Oh my Lord, you ain't heard a word like that. There is a recommendation. There is a ministry of recommendation, and it is connected to faithfulness, and it is connected to loyalty, and it's connected to consistency. And I know that we just want to live in a world in which we just do whatever we want and we only do what's best for us. But But what I'm saying is that at the bottom, at the lowest level, Christ has saved you and has spared you for you to recommend him, for you to be a letter written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. That you have this ministry of being recommended, and you recommend. That if I can say, ooh, go talk to that one. If I can say, if you can live such a life that you wear it and make other people want to wear it. Oh my God, Lord, can I move on? Help us, Holy Ghost. One of the great challenges is that the people that we see wearing Christian Jordans are not people we don't want to wear. We don't want to identify with the people that call themselves Christians. People that stormed the Capitol, stormed it in the name of Christ. That the first ministry is a ministry of understanding. I represent God. Oh God, I trust that you have been raised with that understanding, that you yourselves are being commended. That just because it's permissible doesn't mean it's beneficial. And that you're conscious of that. In the exercise of your freedom, don't get away from your ministry. In the exercise of your freedom, don't get away from the fact that God has a call on your life and that there is a ministry that you have been called to. Therefore, since through God's mercy, we have this ministry. And the first ministry is the ministry of recommendation, in which you can be recommended and you recommend God to others. Maybe I can get into the second one. How much time I have left? The second one, I know I'm running out of time. The second one you see in verse 6, because he says he has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. This second ministry is the ministry of the new covenant. It is the ministry of connection to Christ. More than connection to a principle. More than connection to a theological concept, it is a connection to the Spirit and not to the law. Probably some of the greatest conversations or the greatest battles or the greatest discussions that are happening today are happening through people who want to use the letter to kill instead of allowing the Spirit to give life. There are folk who want me to use the Bible to bind people into situations that ultimately are not in their benefit. But that's Pharisaical. And to realize that the ministry of the new covenant is to not be stuck in Pharisaical behavior and thought, and to be able to say, okay, this might be what the letter says, but what is the meaning of the Spirit? My God, I'm out of time. Woo! We have this ministry. And I think the lowest level of ministry is the ministry of recommendation. It's where you all can start. And the next step up is the ministry of connection. You don't have to be a Bible theologian to be in the ministry of the new covenant, to be in the ministry of this Jesus come, so that you might be connected to the Spirit more than the letter. I'm going to get into that more next Wednesday. And I trust you heard a word tonight. Let me pray for you. God, I pray that the spirit and not the letter. I pray, God, that the power and not just the principle. God, we need both. We need the rhema and the logos. But God, I pray that these moments, this call that you have on us, those of us who know you, those of us who are saved, that God, we will realize that our highest call, the start of our call, is to share who you are, to be a witness, to testify. Use us for your glory. In Jesus' name. So glad you're with us tonight. I want to see you on Sunday. I know I'm going to be sharing on this some more, but it was good. And you can always share this. You can always recommend. You can always subscribe. Your subscription and your connection, especially if you're watching on YouTube or any of that, your subscription, that connection takes the word of God even farther. And it's easier than ever for you to get behind the gospel of Christ. And of course, as always, you can give. You can text Woe Online to 77977. You can just text that, Woe Online, 77977, and you can give to the work of the kingdom of God. And God will bless you. So glad you're with us tonight. We want to see you on Sunday. I'll be back next Wednesday jumping into these 10 things. My God, I've only given you really one or two. And next Wednesday, I'm going to jump right into it. So remember this. Try to not give you the whole preamble and just try to really carve some of these out and share them with you because there's a call of God on your life. And I don't want you to walk in it. Can't wait to see you next Wednesday. Can't wait to see you Sunday morning. Never forget. This is the victory that overcomes the world. It's our faith.